My name is Stephen Pedagorski, and the artwork of mine that's in the collection at the Forbes Library is photography. And the particular images that are in the collection are from a larger series of work that's really ongoing for me called The Meadows. And these photographs were all made in the section of Northampton called The Meadows, which is a section that I had probably driven by literally hundreds of times before I ever began to explore it. I remember in the earliest days of my being in this area, driving up Route 91 and looking off to the right between what used to be exit 18 and exit 19 and seeing these vast fields with the Holyoke Range mountains behind them. And there in the middle of these cornfields was what looked like a billboard. It was very strange. It actually was the back or the side of a tractor trailer that had been put there, and people over the years put different advertisements on it, which ultimately gave way to graffiti. And at some point, I began to find ways into the meadows, either from the Northampton Airport or other places where you can go in. And I explored a little bit, but never very much. And then in about 2007, my wife and I got a dog. And as has often been the case for me with a dog, I said to myself, if the dog doesn't get a walk every day, he'll shrivel up and die. So I began to walk the dog early in the morning in the meadows. I wanted to be in a place where I could walk with the dog off the leash and where I could explore and not have to worry about traffic or other people and their dogs and all of that. And that was something that was interesting to me, although at first I really did it more for the sake of the dog, and I would let myself think about whatever I had to do that day or that week. And at a certain point, it became clear to me that the dog was in a remarkably present sort of point of view, that for him, every time we went there was a new and wonderful experience. And he would sniff this, and he would pee on that, and he would try to eat this, and he might chase some animal that he saw. But it made me realize that I had a choice when I was walking in the meadows. I could either let myself be distracted by all the things I had to do and think about, or, like the dog, I could be blissfully present and aware of my surroundings. And when I started doing that, I began to take more pictures than I had before, because I think I began to notice things that I had not been able to notice when I was so busy and worrying about paying bills or answering emails. So I began to take pictures, and that was something that continued for me really over the life of the dog, which was 14 plus years. So literally every day that I was in Northampton, as opposed to traveling, whether it was summer or spring or fall or winter, I would walk the dog. He didn't care whether it was 12 below or 104. It was always wonderful for him. And I tried to make sure that I had the right clothing to let it be comfortable for me as well. And so I began early on making pictures of nothing special, but working in black and white, which is something that people have asked me about as a choice. People often wonder, why would you choose to make pictures in a landscape that's so beautiful in black and white as opposed to color? And when I thought about that, I realized that even though it was an intuitive choice for me, that intellectually what was behind it was this. When you're working with color in photography, you're generally making pictures that seem to suggest that people should look at them as real, as versions of reality. Because when we see color photographs, we most generally look at them and say, oh yeah, I know what that is. That's a person, that's a place, that's a thing I know, that's a landscape that I've seen before. But when you work in black and white, what you're doing is to automatically create something that has a level of abstraction to it. And I think many people don't understand what abstraction means. It doesn't simply mean that something is unrecognizable. In a literary sense, an abstract is really a condensation or a distillation of something. And I think for me in photography, to work in black and white and reduce color means right away when somebody looks at that, they're not mistaking that image for reality. They, I hope, will perceive it as a version of reality. Reality is seen through the lens, not just of the camera, but of the photographer. And indeed, one of the things that was most interesting for me in going to the meadows day after day, season after season, year after year, was that it was never the same twice. And that's not only because the light is different, and the weather may be different, or the crops may be at a different stage, but it's also because I was in a different place. And I think where we are mentally, emotionally, those are things that all determine whether we would take pictures and how we might take those pictures. And so over time, in photographing this area, which to me was so interesting and so beautiful, the next challenge that was always present for me was editing, because of course it's very easy to take pictures. And if you're not careful, you end up with hundreds, if not thousands of pictures, and you have to somehow decide which ones are keepers, which ones are worth working with, and which ones are better abandoned. And I think for me, because what I've always been interested in when I take landscape pictures is not just making pretty pictures, but making pictures that record for me my feelings of excitement at seeing how the light plays with different elements of the landscape, whether that's with clouds or with mountains or with a dead animal on the ground, whatever it is, you know, it's about light and how it illustrates certain things and what my subjective reactions to those things might be. So I would basically try to edit out any images which were, to me, simply pretty. Because even though it's not illegitimate to make pretty pictures, I was interested in doing something more than that, in creating images that might capture what I thought of as the magic of particular moments, moments that combined the light that I just mentioned, the particular landscape of the meadows, the dog, whatever crops were there. And over time, I also began to see that aside from the usual stuff you'd encounter there, corn, potatoes, squash, whatever other plants might be growing, that I found many dead animals. And at first, even though I took some pictures of those, I didn't really think of including those in what was otherwise a landscape project. But over time, it became clear to me that they were as much a part of the cycle of life in the meadows as any of the plants or trees were. So I did not filter those out necessarily, and sure enough, there are things there, whether it's a fox or a squirrel or a mouse or a deer, and in one case, even a cow, animals that had died there and that were there in one stage or another, either of permanent rest or decomposition. After about 10 years of that work, I had the idea to do a book, which was published some years ago, simply called The Meadows, and that's a collection of about 50 images from this series, three of which are in the library's collection. So, of course, it's deeply connected to the Pioneer Valley because that location is so specific, and for anybody who hasn't been there, I certainly invite you to explore it. It's, in some ways, a very typical agricultural landscape, but it's also bordered by the Connecticut River, and beyond the river to the south are the range of mountains we know of as the Holyoke Range, which, especially at dawn, are quite beautiful. And so I think that for me, even though the dog died a couple of years ago, I still go there periodically, certainly not every day. And even though I feel I've made many of the pictures that are there for me to make in the meadows, I always have the camera with me when I'm there, and I certainly am not opposed to the possibility of creating even more images for that series. And in terms of the work being in the library's collection, I'm in a particular place of having photographed almost all the work that's in the collection of the Forbes Library. And it's indeed a remarkable collection because we're blessed to live in an area that has an abundance of very talented artists, people working in all mediums. And those that have contributed over the years to the collection have helped make something that's really quite remarkable, both for its scope and for the quality of the works in that collection. So for me, in no small measure, it's an honor to be a part of that, and especially to think that that's something that will go on beyond my lifetime and hopefully be available to people from this area or others who visit here well into the future.